You sing another verse of that song, please.
And strive. Sometimes Satan tries to tell me to turn aside. I say, Satan, get thee behind. No returning in me, you'll find. I'm too near my heavenly home where I'll abide. I'm too near home with my Lord, too near home. Heaven's reward, I'm not returning to sin. I made my vow. There's nothing to go back to. Oh, praise the Lord, sweet heaven's in view. I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now.
Yes, thank the Lord for that song tonight. Very thankful. I will testify with many of the rest of you, I've gone too far. Gone too far to go back. And as that song was sung, do you know tonight that God has given everything that we need that we can all make it tonight? The Lord has made provision that regardless of your battles, regardless of the struggles that you have, your raising, background, all the baggage that sometimes we have, God has made provision that you can live a victorious Christian life and that you can make heaven. And that's what gives us hope tonight when we look at a world that is so messed up. There is power in the gospel because of Jesus Christ. And there is a way that all of us tonight can make heaven. And that just thrills my soul because sometimes we look at situations and we can't untangle them. But like Brother Philip said, we know who can tonight. And I want a full portion of what God has for me. If you will turn with me to the book of Exodus, and we are in desperate need of your prayers tonight. In the sixth chapter of Exodus, we begin reading with verse 6. And this is when the Lord had appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And God gave Moses a message. He gave him a job to do. And this is what the Lord told Moses. He said, "Say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptian." Isn't that a wonderful message to be able to take back to a people that were enslaved? To people that had been oppressed, the message was, go back and tell them, number one, I am the Lord your God. In other words, we're not looking to man to do something. Remind the people that I am your God. And then he went on and told them, he said, I'm going to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I'm going to rid you of their bondage and I'm going to redeem you. Doesn't that almost start to sound like a New Testament message? Do you know that what happened in the Old Testament, this was just pointing forward to something that was so much better to come? Because I have never been enslaved in literal Egypt, but I have been bound by sin. I have been under the oppression of the enemy, and the Lord came along and let me know, I'm your God, and I will redeem you. I will set you free tonight. If sin has a hold in your life, through the power of God, you can be set free. And you can say, I don't understand it. It's kind of like the blind man that Jesus healed. And they were asking him, what did this man do? Who is this man? And he said, I really don't know who he is, but I know this. I was blind, but now I see. There is a power in Jesus Christ tonight that can deliver you and redeem you. It does not matter what sins you've committed. It does not matter how much iniquity and unrighteousness has been in your life. There is a Lord this tonight that has His arms opened up in love. And He will forgive you and He will set you free. See, it's not only about forgiving us. He will set us free from the power that the enemy has in our life. But you know, that wasn't the end of the message. He said, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to deliver you from the power, from this being enslaved in Egypt. But He went on to say, you're going to be a people. I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. And then He said this in verse 8, and I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. The Lord did not intend for the children of Israel to be brought out of slavery to die in the wilderness. The Lord did not intend to deliver them from bondage and bring them out to wander around for 40 years suffering just to die. God had a plan. I'm going to deliver you from slavery. I'm going to set you free that you're not going to have any taskmaster over you any longer. And I'm going to give unto you a land. Do you know the Lord has a very similar plan for us tonight? And my burden is, and this is a subject that I hear frequently right among the camp of the saints, people say, I don't understand. I'm confused. I don't understand. By the help of the Spirit and the Word tonight, I would that we can understand. Used to people call this full salvation. It's been a while since I've heard that term. I don't know about you all here. But full salvation is the package deal. It's everything what God's plan of redemption was all about. It's the reason Jesus came was that we could be fully saved. He brought us out of Egypt, but He didn't bring us in the wilderness just to wander aimlessly. You know how many of the children of Israel died in the wilderness? And there are some strong parallels tonight. If you have been redeemed and you have been forgiven of your sin, there is a land that Jesus wants to give to you. There is something that God wants to do in your life. There's something else God wants you to do. Because if you don't get full salvation, if you don't go to the land that God has provided, you're going to be living in a substandard place to where many times people lose their faith. They lose their consistent victory. They lose their purpose in the wilderness. The Lord wants to save us and He wants to get us into Canaan land as quickly as possible. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven where among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation does not come by trying to turn over a new leaf. Salvation does not come by saying, I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to try to be a better person. Salvation is a divine work of God, folks. Salvation is something that I cannot do for myself. Salvation is something that Jesus comes in when we are unworthy. And He comes in, we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to go this way anymore. And the Lord forgives us, and He is the one that sets us free. There is a divine power tonight. The Lord help us to never minimize the divine power of God. God can do for you tonight what you have not been able to do for yourself. That is that wonderful message that we sang about. Just that sweet telling that message. Of salvation, that's the message. The Lord can do something for you. He can give you deliverance. He can set you free. And I don't know how all He does it, but I know He does. And I know that 2,000 years later, the blood of Jesus still has power to forgive and to set free. In 1 John 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Do you know that is also still true tonight? He that commits sin has not been saved. Because when you are saved, not only are you forgiven, but you are set free from the power that sin had in your life. So he that is committing sin, he said, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, this is why Jesus came. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. Destroy is a big word, isn't it? Destroy, it doesn't mean that we're just going to start chipping away at the sin in our life. It means that through Jesus Christ, there is a divine transformation that takes place. When we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin, and we tell the Lord, I'm sorry for what I have done, the Lord will freely forgive us. And he will forget our sin, and he will make us a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It wasn't just part of it. But we can become a new vessel through the power of Jesus Christ tonight. So when we get saved, if this cup was empty and it's full of water right now, but you know what you do when you get a cup and you're going to drink out of it? You want to make sure it's clean, don't you? So the first thing you do is you scrub it. And you clean it with soap. And so you have a clean vessel inside. That is what the blood of Jesus does for us. It cleanses us from all sin. He forgives us. He makes us a new creature. But it doesn't end there. Because what good is an empty clean vessel? What good is it? You clean it up so you can fill it with something that will satisfy you to drink of. Well, Jesus died on the cross, and he shed his blood that through his blood we can be saved. He cleanses from sin, but there's something else that Jesus came to do. And in our theology tonight, there have been those in the past and still today preach a message of when you get saved, you're forgiven, you receive the Holy Spirit all at one time. But that is very scripturally and experientially incorrect. But it's not a confusing thing. It shouldn't be difficult. But here's the danger. Because we know, and we're going to look at some of the scripture that very clearly teaches us what full salvation really is all about. If we're not careful, we will try to separate so far the forgiveness of sin and the giving of the Spirit of God, we create a gap in theology that people grow up not really understanding what this is about. And in that gap, there is a wilderness where many people have died and lost their way. And that was never the plan of God in the Old Testament. But nor is it the plan of God in the New Testament. When Jesus forgives us of our sin, he is cleaning us up so he can turn right around and speedily fill us with his Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist was baptizing with water. He was preaching a message of repentance. But when he saw Jesus, in verse 11 of chapter 3, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When we begin to consider tonight, why did Jesus come? We read that he came to destroy the work of the devil, but how did he do that? By the shedding of his blood, But his purpose was that he might fill us with the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I would that we recognize and fully comprehend that Jesus came that we might receive the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can only come into a vessel that has been cleansed from their sin. The Holy Spirit will not come into a clean vessel. And John the Baptist said, that's why he's coming. He came to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He was talking about Jesus. And it was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, in the 36th chapter, the 26th verse, he said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take out the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That is talking about a full experience of salvation. Number one, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to set you free. But number two, he said, I'm going to give you a new spirit that will enable you to walk in my way. There's a twofold thing going on there. Number one is a new heart. And number two was a new spirit. That was full salvation. Being cleaned up and being filled. Tonight, Jesus told his disciples right before he left, in Luke 24:49, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. This was the work of Jesus Christ. This is what salvation is all about, saints. This is what salvation is. It's there. Yes, it comes in two parts. But if we're going to live a successful, victorious life, we need to experience the full package. Jesus said, I am going to send the promise of the Father. And he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with what? Power. I want you to wait. Who was he talking to here? He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to believers. He was talking to people that had acknowledged him as a son of God. He was talking to those that had experienced forgiveness of their sin. And he said, I don't want you to go out into the world. You're not equipped to go out into the world. I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. There's a lot of confusion about what the Holy Spirit does. But in its simplicity tonight, it's exactly what Jesus said. I want you to wait till you get power from on high. Because I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you something that will equip you to continue your journey. See, the Lord God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And his intent was to get them to Canaan land. But because of their unbelief, do you see how quickly they begin to turn to idols? Because of their unbelief, many of them died in the wilderness. There are too many tonight that are in the process of spiritual death because they're in a wilderness, missing out on the full plan of salvation. Jesus came that we might receive the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because once the children of Israel got in Canaan land, did they have any more battles? It was really just the beginning, wasn't it? There were walls in Canaan land. There were giants in Canaan land. But yet, through the power of God, every time when they trusted in the Lord, they had the ability to overcome the enemy. When we are fully saved, cleansed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are going to have the ability through the power of Jesus Christ to overcome the giants in our life. We're going to have the ability, and we're going to have things in our life that there's walls. There's going to be battles, there's going to be trials, there's going to be difficulties. But there is going to be a power from God through His Spirit that will enable us to conquer those things. But what's going to happen if we don't have the Holy Spirit? And so Jesus told His disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Over in Acts in the first chapter, we read where this promise, this exhortation was repeated. And He told them they would receive power. In Acts 1 verse 8, He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. You understand, Jesus did not send the disciples out to share the gospel until they received the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a divine transformation that takes place when we repent of our sin, because we've been cleaned up. But what happens to a vessel that you clean and just sits out in the weather? What happens to it? It's going to get dirty again, isn't it? When we are cleansed from our sin, if we do not wait in Jerusalem, if we do not come back before the Lord and wait until we are endued with power from on high, what's going to happen is the pollutions that Jesus cleanses from are going to begin to get back in our life. There have been a lot of people that have been forgiven of their sins, and it wasn't very long till they went right back to the sin that God had delivered them from. And it was because there was a missing ingredient. Jesus' plan was, I'm going to clean you up, and then I want to fill you with my Spirit. And that's why He told His disciples, I want you to wait. Folks, we are living in a very evil generation. We are living in a society that the pressures are so great. We do not have the ability with our willpower or with our own determination to withstand the pressures that are out in the world. And that is the reason that Jesus told His disciples, I want you to wait. Because after you've been cleansed, I want to give you the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage everyone here tonight that has asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and you're saved. If you have not received the power of the Holy Spirit, it is a dangerous place to be in the wilderness. When the Lord has delivered us, we need to come back a second time to the Lord that He might equip us to go out and face life with the power of His Spirit and face the giants that all of us are going to face in life. All right, He told the disciples this. Without the influence of the Holy Spirit, we will find ourselves really before too long starting to go backward. We sing the song in our book, Mighty to Save and Mighty to Keep. Do you know that keeping power comes through the full plan of salvation? Cleaned up and filled up. And after that, there's still a whole lot of submission that's going on. Brother Chuck, those of you in the local congregation may remember, Brother Chuck used to correct folks publicly, get up and say, I need more of the Holy Spirit. And he would say, you either have the Holy Spirit or you don't. He said, what you need is to yield more to the Spirit if you have Him. Amen. Folks, tonight, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you have not come to the Lord very specifically after you have been forgiven of your sin and you become a new creature and you're happy and you're joyful and you know the Lord has done something, it's not cheapening salvation. People that teach one work thinks this cheapens salvation. Folks, if I make a cake, I want icing on it. It tastes a whole lot better. I want the full cake. I want the whole thing. I don't want just the batter. Let's put it in the oven. Let's put some fire on it. And let's put some icing on it. What happens if you take a recipe and follow half the recipe? And people say, well, this just isn't working for me very good. I got saved and I asked the Lord to forgive me, but something's missing and this just isn't working. We need to follow the full recipe. We don't want to settle for half a loaf tonight, because you'll find yourself failing. You'll find yourself losing ground very quickly. But there is an answer to that tonight, and it's in the full plan of Jesus. Amen. He came and died on the cross that through His blood, and I'm repeating because Lord help us to get it, that He cleanses us. But then He said, I am going to send the promise of the Father. So Christ, it was part of Christ's plan to come to enable us to receive the Spirit of God in our tabernacle, in our temple. The Spirit of God is the one that leads us and directs us. He's the comforter. He's the guide. He is the one that still small voice from within. And when we are when we have been forgiven of our sin, and Jesus, He said it so well. We can't improve on how Jesus said it. He told His disciples before Pentecost, He said, the Spirit is with you. He's with you. He's working with you, but He shall be in you. He was talking about the full plan. People say, well, the Holy Spirit talks to me, so... Yes, when you've been forgiven of your sin, the Holy Spirit's on the outside prompting and trying to guide and direct, but the Holy Spirit wants to come inside. He wants to take up His abode in our life tonight. That was the full plan of salvation. Cleansed and filled with His Spirit. Jesus came to do a full work. And He's going to work and do everything He can that we can have the fullness of God. But folks, it's up to us. Because do you know tonight that in the Old Testament, there's enough types and shadows here as well. But when people would place the sacrifice on the altar, that's when the fire fell. Yeah. It's our responsibility to place our life on the altar. Lord, You've forgiven me. You've made me a new creature, but Lord, I come and I place myself unconditionally on the altar. Now, Lord, would You let the fire come down? And you know that it is a gift that we do not have to wrestle with God. The full salvation, it's free. Now, it's going to cost everything that you have, but it's free. It takes a surrender. Lord, would You forgive me? And the Lord forgives us. And we go our way a new creature. And we start to recognize something's missing. Sometimes we may not even know what it is. But there's just something more that I need. Folks, the full plan of God was that you receive the Holy Spirit. And don't be discouraged when you have the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden you're still fighting some battles. Well, if I had the Holy Spirit, surely I wouldn't have these kinds of temptations in the flesh. We are still in the flesh, but that is what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. He enables us to say no to the world. He gives us power to say no to ourselves. But more than that, He gives us the power to say yes to God. So how can we do this? Be cleaned and be filled. I want to give you a new heart. I want to deliver you out of Egypt. I want to set you free. But there's some place that I want to give to you. And yes, there's still giants, but I'm going to be with you. There are too many people trying to live for God that are not equipped. Tonight, do you know it would behoove us to check our equipment? Because the Scripture talks about the Spirit as being the sword of the Spirit. That was one of the only offensive weapons that we read about. A defensive war will only end in inevitable defeat. We need to have an offensive weapon that will enable us to actively go out and witness to the world. That we don't have to be afraid now that I can't go out and we need to stay here within these four walls because we don't want the world to encroach. I say if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you tarry here until you get the Spirit of God. But when you have the presence and the power of God, now you are equipped to go out into the world and influence them rather than the world influencing you. But if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be swept off of our feet. Young people and newly saved tonight, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost, full salvation, that is going to keep us victorious in living for God. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came as it was prophesied. There is another very beautiful example that illustrates, again, what used to be termed, and you won't find the term full salvation in your Bible. But full means complete. Complete salvation is forgiveness and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it is so beautifully portrayed in the 8th chapter of Acts. In the 12th verse, it said, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Philip went, and there was a revival. People were being forgiven of their sins. They accepted Jesus as their Savior. They became new creatures, and they were baptized. And then, in verse 14, it said, when the disciples that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, and they sent them with a mission. Yeah. I want us to take note, there was not a lot of time that had elapsed between these people being converted with the first thing the disciples did when they heard someone was saved. Someone's been forgiven of their sins. They said, someone needs to go and tell them about the full plan. We read here, it said, when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Don't go out until you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here we don't find it happening with one prayer. We find that those that prayed to be converted, they were living for God, the Spirit was working with them, but the apostles quickly sent word to them, you need the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? You see, there's two things going on here. One was conversion, and the second was the infilling. That is the reason that Jesus came tonight. Jesus did not come that we would always be struggling half on the edge of defeat in our experience. He came to do a complete, full work. We are desperately, I believe if there is one of the greatest needs among God's people is a real infilling and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it breaks my heart when I look and I see people getting saved and then so quickly falling back. Do you know there's a solution to that tonight? And it's in full salvation. It's in coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want the whole package. And the Lord will be faithful to give it to you, because when we're cleaned up, the enemy is so quick to try to just start putting his filth back in. But when you have been filled with the Spirit, now there's no room. Now there's no room. We can begin to enjoy. When Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come and drink of me, because out of my belly flows water. Do you know what he was speaking of? Many times people say, well, that was forgiveness of sins. You turn in your Bible and read it, it said Jesus spake concerning the Spirit. Yeah. If you have a need in your life, they can come to me and drink because the Spirit of God is flowing from me. That's why Jesus came, to cleanse and then to fill. But tarry and wait. And I pray that the Lord would help us in a greater way. I pray for the pastors and the ministers that maybe we could do a little bit better job teaching these things in our congregations. Because we are living in a time where people are suffering. Because they've been forgiven, but they're struggling to know what now. And it just seems like maybe it's not working like I hear being testified about. It's because there's a need to be fully saved, cleansed, and filled by the Holy Spirit. Another beautiful example is Saul. When he was on the road to Damascus, he had a conversion experience. Is there any controversy with that? He had a conversion experience. He was forgiven. He believed in Christ. He accepted Jesus as Christ, as Messiah. And that is when he went, God told him, go to this street called Straight. Go to Ananias. And Ananias went. Do you remember what Ananias said when he saw Saul? Does anybody remember? What did he say? Brother Saul. Do you know that is actually one of the few places in the Bible they called someone brother? Normally it was Timothy and Peter and Paul. And when we stood, you know, Peter did this and Paul did that and Luke this. And because they knew they were brothers in the Lord. They weren't standing on as much formality even. I'm not saying it's wrong. It brings family, kinship, recognition. But it is one of the very few places in the Scripture where they actually said, brother so-and-so. You know why he said brother? Because this man had been out persecuting the saints. And I am acknowledging that you are now my brother in the Lord because you have met Jesus Christ and you've been converted. 3 days, Saul was blind. It was 3 days after his conversion, and Ananias laid his hands on brother Saul, and he prayed for him, and he received his literal sight, and he received the Holy Spirit. Now, how long elapsed? 3 days. Why is it then that it seems like there are so many that are getting saved from their sin, and they're going on year after year? You know what that is? That's a wilderness experience. We'll never be able to experience that fullness and that richness until we come back and say, Lord, I've been converted, but I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Folks, it will radically change your life. Salvation changes our life. But salvation as a whole is both things. It's cleansing and it's the filling. And I remember Brother Leslie's testimony from this pulpit, and I was actually a little taken aback when he gave it. The Holy Spirit did some things for him that, in my mind, I was thinking, well, that I would have thought that changed when he asked the Lord to forgive your sin. But there were some needs that Brother Leslie testified that it wasn't until he received the Holy Spirit that it changed some of the words that came out of his mouth. I distinctly remember a few years ago him testifying to that here. All of us are going to have a little bit different experience. For some, it's you just feel that rush of fire and you feel that real sweeping in of something. That's the Spirit. But for others, when you come and say, Lord, I've been justified, I've been washed, I've been forgiven, but there's something more that I need. And Lord, I place myself in your hands. And you just feel that quiet, calm assurance. That is the presence of God. If there's nothing in the way, again, the Spirit won't come into an unclean vessel. But if a son's hungry and he comes to his father and asks for bread, will the father give him a stone? No. Jesus said, how much more then will I give the Holy Spirit to those that ask me? We don't have to fight God tonight for the Holy Spirit. And I will also freely acknowledge that there are some times, especially when we are younger, and as we begin to mature in the Lord, we start wondering, do I really have the Holy Spirit or not? And sometimes we start wrestling with this. And I did as a young person, because I love the Lord. I got saved in an early age, but came to that place, I wrestled, and I like to have my... But I like to have my T's crossed and my I's dotted. That's my nature. I like things to be in order. And I struggled with that because there were some things. I want to be sure I know why and how and all of it. And then finally, just to come to a place that, Lord, I offer myself. I need a reaffirmation that I have everything that you have for me right now. And do you know that was just the start of my journey? There's been a lot of battles, and there's still been some bruises, and there's still been times that the Lord had to pick me up and brush me off. But it was His Spirit that kept my heart fixed, that I do not want to go back to Egypt. Do you remember what the children of Israel did in the wilderness? Too many times they started looking back at Egypt. We want to go back. It almost looks a little better over there. But I never read about that once they got into Canaan land. Yes, there were giants, but I never read about them getting into Canaan land saying, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. Tonight, we need to get into Canaan land. We need to get the fullness. I came to redeem you and give you a land. Jesus came to forgive us and give us the Spirit. Yes, two definite works. It doesn't come in one instant, all of it. But it is a complete plan of salvation that we repent. And as soon as we recognize the need, as soon as we recognize our neediness before the Lord's saying, I want you to wait and I want you to come and get the Holy Spirit. Tonight, if you are saved, if you have been forgiven of your sin, but you haven't been filled, what's holding you back tonight? And if you say, I'm not quite sure I'm ready to make that kind of consecration, you are already headed back to Egypt. You're already in a dangerous place. If you're not sure that you want to go all the way with God, you are very close to losing your salvation because we cannot stand against the world that we live in today. But the good news tonight is that we can stand through the full plan of salvation and we can live holy in this present evil generation. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by His power. So, Brother Saul, let's pray. And he received the Holy Spirit. I believe tonight that someone by themselves that recognizes this need can pray and receive the Holy Spirit. There's probably a number here that might be able to testify that. I'm going to go a step further. I know of people that don't know the theology. Some of these scriptures that we've read, see, very two distinct works, and there's a lot more of them. Just read the book of Acts. You'll find it. You'll never find someone that was forgiven of their sin, and then that was it. You'll keep reading in the book of Acts, but I know there are people that don't understand all the theology that have been forgiven of their sin, and they were seeking God in this, Lord, I need something more. I know something's lacking. They didn't even know what to ask for. And the Lord gave them the Holy Spirit. And then they began, as they studied, they began to recognize, that's what God did for me. We are blessed tonight to have the knowledge. But the knowledge will not empower us until we come and present ourselves fully to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know that I have this gift. Because I've been struggling, Lord, and I need something more. This is the full plan of salvation. So, as we conclude tonight, I'd like to say something about the timing of this. It was never God's intention for the children of Israel have to wait 40 years in the wilderness. All of the adults, if you'll remember, all of the adults perish in the wilderness because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. The disciples were instructed, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. The Samaritans that got saved, that were justified, the apostles immediately sent the message to you need the Holy Spirit. The message on the day of Pentecost was, repent and be baptized. In other words, baptism is really one of the first acts of obedience, of acknowledging a conversion experience. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is danger in delay tonight. And if you have repented of your sin, the Lord wants to give you His Spirit. He wants to give you what you need to be able to live victorious tonight. The promise is unto you and unto your children. Yes. and all that are afar off. Tonight, if you're in Egypt, the Lord has a land that He wants to give to you. If there's sin in your life and it just seems like it hasn't worked for you before, seems like I've gotten saved every camp meeting and I'm tired of, I don't know, the devil tries to make us feel foolish. Got saved, and then next camp meeting, and got saved, and everybody's like, well, they need to get saved again, and just this back and forth. It's not foolish, but there's something that can heal your backsliding, and it's the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what age we are, when we have asked the Lord to forgive us of our sin, as soon as you know the need, we need to come back to the Lord and receive this wonderful, precious gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, verse 2, He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed tonight? We are only able to live according to the Scripture and to live in such a way that we can make heaven our home through the full plan of salvation. So have you received the full plan tonight? Amen.